Good evening again, everybody, and welcome to the Hutton Orbital Bulletin, your Thursday window on the galaxy. I'm still Red Rudolph Heckler, and our guest producer this week is Phil McCavity. And we're joined in the studio by husband and wife team, Norma and Lou Snockers.
Evening, Rudolph. Norma, please tell me your maiden name was worse than that.
Well, it used to be Sass.
So you went from Norma Sass to Norma Snockers. That's quite a change. I don't mean to say, but you sound an awfully lot like Flossie.
I get that all the time. She's my cousin.
That's uncanny. Even more when you think that you both sound like that docking controller lady. Anyway, on with the news headlines. Dodgy Don deals with disaster for Synrain.
Does anyone smell roast beef? Cow has an accident.
Treaty retreat entreaties as Federation pulls out of Galactic Accords.
Capricorn is safe as Hutton helps frogs fend off the fires.
Eridani equation begins election to Hutton.
Lou Snockers will be telling us how it's hanging in Hutton space.
And we have Norma Snockers. And the CGs.
It appears that the dodgy Camorra Don, formerly of Wolf 359, the dastardly Don Antonacci, has been up to his old tricks again. When a distressed Commander Kinrain contacted Hutton's fraught and caught short support line, asking of whether anyone had seen his anaconda, last parked at Wedgeport, and once the tittering had died down, it turned out that as a result of being a trusting character, he'd left the keys in the ignition whilst he'd popped into a nearby gift shop to buy something for his delightful other half. Needless to say, some miscreant had had it away with his anaconda, leaving Kinrain's insurance company to provide him with a free sidewinder whilst police forces investigated. Investigations concluded that a well-meaning mechanic from Special Effects Engineering Team had made a few choice upgrades and taken the Farringdon Folly for a shakedown flight, right into the side of the station, at speed. Of course, all video evidence, flight logs, and even the identity of the engineer have all mysteriously vanished. We understand that the dastardly Don, visiting the wedge with a wadge of lolly for nefarious purposes, heard the plaintive call and offered to find a complete replacement ship for Kinrain in return for a number of favours. The Don's right-hand man, the previous one, Don Presto, having been relegated to the Don's pet DNA project planet side, Commander Styx duly delivered a spookily similar ship, complete with the same dents and scratches, the same arse print in the pilot's seat, and even that dodgy stain on the console that even bleach won't reach. But of course, it was a different ship. Definitely. In return, Commander Kinrain has begun negotiations on behalf of the Don to get his summer palace at Vert's Progress back from the truckers. We suspect someone's pulling a fast one here. We haven't the heart to tell him that his palace has been the site of repeated bombings by federal pilots ranking themselves silly with missions from Sol, and is now a big pile of rubble. Nor that, as a result, we don't want it anymore.
There comes a time every year, even in space, when a trucker's thoughts turn to spring. The lambs are gambling around the biomes in zero-G, birdsong fills the air, and environmental controls are configured to give the odd day of brilliant bright light, even around the dull brown dwarves at places like Wise. It's traditional at this time of year to host weekend barbecues on Earthlikes, but for those trapped in deep space, their burned meat products have to come from the laser grill. Or, like our missing co-presenter Dick Chafing and his pilot Psycho Cow, you could just abscond from the Van Marnen Star Spa and Juice Bar and take a day trip out to Beagle Point. Or if you would have, if you hadn't decided to have an incident with a passing neutron star in his rapidly overheating Frisian Calpaint Type 9, having apparently already had one repair ship sent out to him, this time he overcooked it. Literally. and he went from rare via medium through to well done and into the realms of burnt ends. As a Scotsman, his normally pale skin went directly to beetroot red as his canopy broke and his remlock luckily applied enough aloe vera to coat the population of the whole of the UK at the Costa del Sol in July. We're delighted to say that the Mad Monks of Van Maanen have rescued the burned cow and returned him to his quarters at Van Maanen to continue his health retreat, only bathed in a lot of lotion this time.
Federal President and total loose cannon loony Zachary Hudson has been on the receiving end this week of much scorn from pretty much everyone else in the galaxy as he refused to re-ratify the treaties related to unreasonable rendition of sentient species. Whilst the Empire and Alliance, fresh from the recent scandalous discovery that humanity was responsible for the dissection and torture of Thargoids many years ago, all tied in with INRA and the loss of Commander Jameson, confirmed that even without the Federation's involvement, they will continue to wage war in a traditional means against the Thargoids, which mostly involves ignoring them and sending independent pilots to do all of the work. Hudson has publicly called it a bad deal for humanity. A really bad deal. He'd never seen such a bad deal before, and that it made him embarrassed to be human that aliens were treated with any form of respect. He remains committed to building a big wall. We understand that he's asking for designs for human bubble-sized Dyson spheres, and protecting humanity by nuking anything with the wrong number of legs out of existence. The Alliance sent their top negotiator, Big Boris, it's his nickname, to try and sway the President away from this terrible path. Unfortunately, Big Boris's day job is as a kid's party clown, and after squirting the President in the face with a fake flower and having pulled a bunch of flowers out of his ear, was arrested for assault and is waiting federal military trials next month. Here at Hutton, we note that the building scandal over the claims by an exotic dancer that he paid her off via federal lawyers so she couldn't reveal anything revealing about his nocturnal habits are stated unequivocally to be untrue, and we wouldn't dream of mentioning them live on air. The fact that Misty Danielle, a stage name, was a regular worker at Wanda's Relaxation Emporium at Hutton and is well known for her honesty and diligent hard work under many a trucker, has had many Huttoners rush to Nurse Wyeth for tests and swabs. Of course, we wouldn't want to catch anything nasty off the President.
With the startling news last week that 36G Capricorni, home to the rather controversial but occasionally Hutton-friendly Diamond Trogs, was under attack by those green goo-firing, station-burning, eight-sided aliens, Hutton had a hasty pow-pow, and despite some of the froggy controversial decisions in recent months that have indeed caused much offence, they decided to lend a hand. We sent most of the hotpit team and wings of hotboxes to the system to fend off the incoming menace, with a very few casualties, a number of them caused by flying whilst under the influence, may hasten to add. The team, along with wings of shiny diamond trogs and more than a few other independents, have managed, like a good dose of preparation each, to clear the system of Thargoids. The rest of the galaxy, the bit that doesn't like the frogs and can't forgive them, decided to defend the other systems highlighted by Eagle Eye as under attack, and we're glad to report that both systems were kept clear this week. Alerts have been issued for a further three systems, one of which we don't care about as it doesn't contain any large stations, and everyone knows that orbitals are immune from Thargoid attacks, which is why Hutton is the safest place in the galaxy. And the other two are home to totally dormant Pilot Federation factions. Anyone who does want a little alien action can take their axe to Dalfa and LTT 8517. Dalfa has a population of, 2.5 billion. Put that in words next week, please, David.
Million.
Million, billion, million, zillions. Yep. Lots of people. They've got one large station called Aquila, A-Q-U-I-L-A, and is home to a Pilots Federation faction called the Tridicate, but they don't own much. LTT 8517 has a population of lots of numbers, 1,007,387,161, and has several large stations and is home to a Pilots Federation faction called the Transgalactic Slave Trade Corporation. Again, we're not sure if they're active or since their influence and system is low and they're only present there, we don't think they sound very nice people. They deal with slaves, for crying out loud. So we're happy for them to be ignored.
And finally, before we invite our guest presenter Lou to tell us all about the ins and outs rounded about Hutton Space, we have news that Epsilon Eridani, an often neglected system under the custodianship of Ambassador Dice Etra, is the site of the latest Hutton master plan to gain a few more assets. It's been put to a public vote as to whether Davis Station, an agricultural base, should transfer under Hutton's mantle and give Alvin and his Momus Bog Spaniel security detail that little more room for gambling in the long grass. The team equalised the Eridani numbers against the Epsilon Eridani future and then proceeded to leap ahead in the polls. As usual, we anticipate a win. For more detail on this, and with information from the rest of Hutton Space, we have our stand-in hot pit member, Lou Snockers.
Thank you very much. In a stable week for the truckers, both Hot and Hot Coal managed to shake off the outbreak of mods, and due to the massive profits that trucking megs generates, get themselves into a boom state. The hard work in the bubble has paid off, and the truckers have entered into elections in Epsilon Eridani for control of Davis Station and are holding an acceptable lead. A steady stream on missions and ferrying passengers should secure this station. The only downside is that this was a little too successful in George Pantazzi's, so a few missions or passenger runs for non-hot factions are needed to help pull the pants down. Due to the interesting developments this week in Wolf 359, the truckers are testing an enhanced missions point system. Lael has sanctioned the shedding of Vert's progress, and to this end, all missions for Union of Wolf 359 labour will be receiving bonus points. Over in Colonia, the desired expansion from Deriso is pending and should go live any day now. All forms of positive action are required in both hot systems, EOL Procol Centauri and Deriso. As always, if you have data to drop, contact Graham, Josh or Rob in the bubble or Hanky and Mindwipe in Colonia. With that out of the way, it's time to hand over to the mighty Norma Snockers to find out all about the CGs from this week. Take it away, Wifey Snockers.
How kind. It's quite fun, this, having a pair of snockers on the radio. Right, this week's CG News. Imperial Prisoner Transport Appeal and Restoring Order in Vecor List. Bounty Hunting. Objective: deliver Imperial slaves and non-lethal weapons and hand in bounty vouchers. The Empire has announced plans to construct a new Riker-class prison ship in the Vecor List system. Once complete, the ship will house criminals who accepted a period of Imperial slavery in lieu of jail sentence, but who have proved to be too dangerous or unstable for such corrective punishment. The Moritaskus Imperial Corporation, which is overseeing the initiative, has placed an open order for Imperial slaves and non-lethal weapons, promising to reward pilots who deliver these commodities to Vorkola Vision in the Verakis system. Moritaskus Imperial Corporation spokesman released the following statement: "We are pleased the Empire has awarded us this contract and we look forward to the first ships arriving with our new guests. They've also placed a kill order on all ships on its wanted list to ensure those contributing commodities to the campaign can do so safely." And that is this week's CG News.